Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how's everything going?
Well, I'm almost as busy as you guys, but I'm not sure I'll ever get there.
Well, today I might say that's correct. We actually were on a family vacation last week, and today feels like the busiest I've ever been because we're kind of rummaging through the stack and getting back to people and getting everything figured out. So I would have to agree with that. But you look pretty busy, McKay.
Yeah, well, you know, just getting ready. I can't believe summer's half over.
Don't. You quiet down right now. We're trying to keep our listeners, not make them mad. So Mr. Mike Denslow is here in the studio with us. Mike, how are you?
I'm great. Just, you know, it's funny. Just things are good. Family's good. Job's good. All those kind of things.
Boat
looking forward to a fun July.
Yep. Sounds fabulous. Well, thanks again for getting back in the studio with us, and thanks for all the help you've been giving our clients recently. One of the things we talked about when we finished the show last week and we had talked about something so specific like title insurance, you and I kind of talked about the fact that we would have to, what's it going to look like to go through a transaction? Somebody that's been in their house for 10 years and had a couple kids maybe, or maybe a couple kids have left, or maybe they're just ready to make a change. What's that process look like? So today we kind of decided let's talk a little bit about that process. What does that process look like from when they call me? So we're going to get into that a little bit. First, though, I don't want anybody to miss out on the celebrity real estate news story.
Da-da-da.
So we've got Jim Carrey's Malibu home listed for, now this is what I was saying last week, that I thought Merv Griffin's estate was a bargain at $9 million. So Jim Carrey listed the Malibu home. Granted, you do have the ocean, but I might take the 40 acres over that, you know. $13.95 million, and this thing is in Malibu, right in the colony, the Malibu community, but it's only 2,800 square feet.
Is that all?
2,800 square feet. So I did some quick math to see. Generally, we sell homes in the range of $90 to $120 a square foot around Tri-Cities. That would equate to $4,982 a square foot.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well,
I'm not sure if that's going to happen there. I know it's not going to happen here. So anyway, that is our, but back to our reality and our local transactions. And Mike said, you know what, Lance, let's talk about all that happens from the time you get the call. So a very typical scenario, and we kind of use some of our recent real life transactions. A very typical scenario is a past client calls into me and says, Lance, we love this house you sold us. It was 1,500 square foot Rambler. A couple of years ago, and we've now decided that it's time to upgrade. We want to go to a two-story. We found a builder that we really like or a community we really like, so we want to go and meet with them and go ahead and think about selling this house and building a new house. So the first thing that comes to my mind is lending has changed drastically since 5 years ago when I sold you your first house. The very first thing we need to do is we need to get you into Mike and see what that new house means to you financially, if you need a loan to get it, and what the payments are going to be and the cost. So at that point, I am going to say things have changed so much. I need you to give Mike a call. Let's figure out where we're at. Obviously, you're going to want to sell your house. Do we need to sell it first? Do we need to start on the construction? So that next call is right over to you, Mr. Denslow. And so the clients are now calling you to start asking some questions.
Yeah, and this is a phone call I enjoy because the tough call is one that you, I've got a house under contract. Now let's figure out the loan. That happens. That happens occasionally. But
is that the cart before the horse?
Yes, that is the cart before the horse.
Absolutely. So when I get this phone call and the client is saying, you know, we want to step up. You know, that's really what it is. We've got a 1,500 square foot house, and we've got it 5 years ago, and now we've had a couple kids, and now we want to move into this, you know, into the 2,200-2,400 range or whatever. And, you know, that's a great call to get, because then we can sit down and say, okay, what do you owe on your house? What do you think you can sell it for? What did Lance tell you he thinks that it would sell for? We can back into how much you're going to net from the sale of that home. How much do you have to put down on the next house? How has, you know, your job history changed in the last 5 years? How much money are you making? How much in debts do you have? Those kind of things. And so what we do is take those numbers and say, all right, you're going to put down this much on the new home. What does that payment look like? And I like to get as specific as possible on this. Homeowners insurance, property taxes, you know, your principal and interest. Are you putting 20% down versus 10% down where you're going to have some PMI? And FHA, is that the best or conventional? Or are you a veteran? I mean, there's just so many and, you know, there's just a lot of questions. But we're zeroing in on what are you going to be comfortable with when you get this new home? So let's say we come up with an estimated payment on this new house of $1,300. How does that fit into your budget? Does that work, or does that scare you? Maybe that is too big of a payment. Maybe it's not that big, and wow, we look at a 20-year loan or a 15-year loan or something like that. So it's a real exciting time because we're getting to build something that will meet your needs. I mean, you have the need of a new home, and you're going to need Lance to help you sell your home and negotiate on this new place, new construction, or even resale. But let's build it all up so you have that expectation. Okay, I'm going to net this much, and then we're going to put that down on the new place, and my payment is going to be this. And once you can feel comfortable with those things, man, the whole transaction seems to go a lot better if you have an understanding of what your end numbers are going to be. And so that's, you know, that's me just talking with them, just talking in broad strokes, kind of getting that information. From there, if all those numbers sound good, then we're going to tighten everything up. We're going to ask for documentation, financial documentation, tax returns, pay stubs, bank statements, all those kind of things, and run you through our system as a full-blown pre-approval, double-check everything, and then we're going to be handing them back to you saying, okay, these people are pre-approved. They want to buy up to this range. They're going to be putting down this much. And those people can sleep on it and feel good about their decisions, take some time to feel good. And now they're coming back to you saying, all right, Lance, what's the next step?
You're exactly right, Mike. And then that's when I get the clients back. Sometimes that process takes 2 or 3 days. Sometimes while you straighten things out, sometimes that process can take 2 to 3 weeks. But when they come back to me, we're now making a very informed decision. Mm-hmm. So at this point now, I get the client back. They said, Lance, we can, looks like we are comfortable. We want to purchase a home in the range of, say, $230,000 to $250,000. Let's go figure out what we want to do, whether that be new construction, whether that be an existing spec home, or potentially whether that be a build with a production builder, maybe building or with a semi-custom builder. So now we're looking at those options of what that $230 to $250 can buy you as the client. That's when we spend some time going over what new construction looks like. We look at what the existing inventory is. We look at what cities or neighborhoods the client wants to be in. Mm. And based upon that process, we usually, within a week or two, have identified the properties that they're interested in and then narrowed it down on the exact home that that client wants to make an offer on. Now, at this point, they've used those numbers that Mike has given them. A lot of times, it requires the sale of their existing home first. Some folks have the ability and the luxury of not having to sell their house first. We do both all the time. We have multiple transactions right now both ways with these two different scenarios. So this is very real life right now. We have some clients that say, I want to buy that house. Let's make it contingent upon selling my house in the next 45 days.
Go into that a little bit more.
What that means is you've identified a house that you like and you're ready to make an offer on it, but you need to have your house sold first so that you can use the equity from that house to purchase the new one.
And then explain if your house isn't listed yet versus listed when you make that offer.
Exactly. So what happens in a contingent offer position is you make an offer on the new house contingent upon your house being sold in the next 45 to 60 days. And if you don't sell your house in the next 45 to 60 days, then you would be getting your earnest money back and you would not have to go through with the purchase of the existing home. So not all sellers will look at those offers. Some sellers prefer those offers. It's just something that you have to go through to know for sure. So what happens is that contingency then requires, if they accept your offer, it requires that your house be listed generally within 5 business days of an accepted offer. Or if your house already is listed, you're just that much further ahead of the game and you can show the seller, look, we've already listed, we've set a realistic price, we are very serious about this. So a lot of times having that house listed ahead of time prior to making that offer, it's just one of those other little things that makes your offer that much stronger.
And hey, we missed a step. Let's take one step back.
Okay, give it to
me. Right before you made that offer, what do you need from me?
Oh, you already sent me the pre-approval letter when they came back to me. See, these clients were so good. When they came back to me, they said, here's the pre-approval letter Mike gave us. If they didn't, though, you're right. I would be calling you. Now, on the flip side of that scenario, a lot of times we have clients that they're comfortable with their payment. They've saved up a lot of equity. Many times they'll say, I really don't want to move twice. I think my house will show better empty. I have a lot of stuff. I'm going to go ahead and purchase that new house without the contingency, and then once we've moved, Lance, I'm going to have you go ahead and sell this house. So we do it either way, but it's very dependent upon what Mike has told us is possible. Can you purchase the new house without selling the other one? And we know that at the time because we've talked to Mike.
Yeah, the financing with going down that option is definitely trickier. You got to have a lot more assets, but it is possible.
So we're coming up against our first hard break. When we come back now, I have a feeling I have a contract in place now. I have a feeling I'm going to be giving them back to Mike. So we will talk about that when we come back from the break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been taking you through a typical transaction, kind of showing and showcasing how Mike and I work together and putting some of the moving pieces together. So before the break, we had just written up a contract, got a house under contract for our buyers. And at this point, we have put together that contract, got all the pieces signed around, and we are now sending back to Mike a complete purchase and sale agreement to purchase a new house with his clients and delivering that contract back to you, Mike.
Sounds good. Now I've got the contract. I'm going to reach out to the clients and make an appointment with them for them to come in and sit down with me. I'm also going to contact the title and escrow company and get those fees. I want to have those fees in my systems and be able to explain those when my clients come back in and sign the initial disclosures that we need to go over before we can send the transaction in for processing and underwriting. At that same time, I'm going to be asking them if they had an inspection done. Lance, are they going to have an inspection done on this house?
They most certainly are going to have an inspection done on this house. It's going to generally happen in the first 10 days of the contract. As a courtesy, once we have negotiated through that inspection, we know that's something that Mike is interested in knowing about. And so once that inspection has been successfully negotiated, we let Mike know that we are now through inspection and green light to move forward.
That I've already met with the clients while this whole process is going on. I typically have got all the signed disclosures from the client, and we have sent the file in for processing. I have, though, waited to order the appraisal until I've heard that the inspection is good. I don't want to spend the client's money on an appraisal before I know that it is past the inspection. So at that point, when I hear the inspection went well, we order the appraisal. We already have the file in for underwriting at that point. We get the file back, and let's say that the underwriter wants clarification on something or wants another document or needs something. We then gather up those conditions, get back with our processor. The processor is the person who's going to contact the homeowner's insurance company, get what's called an insurance binder, make sure that all the proper coverages are on the property, make sure that we've got updated verifications of employment for those clients. Then we go back in for final underwriting. Hopefully by that time, well, actually, we can't go back to final underwriting until we have that appraised value come back in. And let's stop right there for a second. That appraised value can, I guess, be three different things. It can come in high, it can come in at value, or it can come in low. If it comes in high or at value, we're happy. If it comes in low, Lance, what are the client's options at that point?
Well, in this particular transaction, I was representing the buyer, and we bought this new house. That appraisal comes in low. The first thing I'm going to start doing is researching why did that happen. So we are going to look at the comparables that the appraiser used. We are going to try to figure out what his justification was for the lower price. And you can almost guarantee that in that instance, when I'm representing that buyer, I'm going to be asking for the price to be lowered to the appraised value. Because now we now have an appraiser saying, at that point, I might disagree with the appraiser. My client might disagree with the appraiser. But I'm going to counsel with my client on a couple things. What is the most important thing for you right now? Do you think the appraiser was wrong, you as the client? Do you have other reasons that if it was $3,000 low, that no matter what, you still want this house? And I can try to negotiate that way. But this is an opportunity for me representing my buyer to potentially get the house at a lower price for them because it's not worth what we had negotiated out. The bank says they won't loan on it. So we can use that information to try to get a lower price. Sometimes my buyer might say, Lance, this is the house for me. It had that spectacular 9-car garage that I know was worth $200,000, and the appraiser says it's only worth $100,000. So I will come up with the extra $3,000 or $4,000, and we'll continue on. So it's a lot of back and forth between my client and the other agent, and him representing the seller, and saying what are we going to come up with a solution here for?
It makes me wonder, why would you ever sell your house by yourself?
Wow. Thank you, McKay. Now at that time point, we're either going to lower the price to the appraised value, or my client, let's say it was the 9-car garage, and he knew it was worth way more than the appraiser gave it. The client has decided to come up with the other $3,000 that the appraisal was low. So we have that discussion, we negotiate that out, and we go back to Mike to say we've come to terms. The client's going to bring in another $3,000 to make up the difference, and we can continue on.
So there's the possibility of a price change, which would require a new addendum or something, but we're keeping the price the same. We're moving forward. Then we're going back in for final underwriting. We get the final review. Everything goes well there. We go to docs. Docs go over to company like Stewart Title, like we had Dylan in here last week, or another title and escrow company here in Tri-Cities. They work up what's called a HUD settlement statement and send it back to the lender. The lender then reviews those numbers, makes sure that they're down to the penny perfect. Once they are approved, now we're going back to the client, and the ball is really turning back into the title and escrow company to them to coordinate that signing appointment. Get the clients in there, get the sellers in there, get the agents in there, get everyone involved in the transaction to coordinate that signing, have everyone sign, then the loan gets funded from there. All that documentation is sent back to us, it's reviewed, and then we're going to fund that transaction and record it with the county, and then you're going to get a phone call saying your clients, Mr. and Mrs. John Doe, are now the owners of this property, and what do you do from there?
Well, it's back to us. One step in there that does happen is the escrow company. We require the escrow companies we work with to CC us that HUD statement. At the same time, it goes back to the lender. And at that point, we're also reviewing it on our side from the real estate side and approving it so that we know what's gotten on that statement is what we contractually agreed to as the buyer.
Because you could have some seller paying closing costs or...
Something could have been missed along the way. You know, there could be some homeowner's dues that we knew were prepaid but ended up on the HUD, so we can deliver proof that those had already been paid. So there might be some things that we as realtors know in the transaction that the bank might not. So that's our last chance to review that also and make those corrections and get that information back to the lender. Then once the lender's approved and we've heard that the property has recorded, at that point we get to do one of the most exciting parts of our jobs, and that is deliver the keys to our client's new home.
Mm.
And so get them access to that home so that they can start moving in. And that really is always, it's an emotional time. It's always a very magical feeling when someone's got their dream home and they've been able to get back to settling their life back down because they've usually been in chaos for 45 days.
Yeah, I like to wait a couple days typically and make a follow-up call or send an email or something like that and just say, hey, I'm glad we got closed. How's everything going? If you have any questions specific with your loan, definitely reach out to me, you know, just letting them know it's not just about originating the loan. You know, there's definitely some customer service that's going to happen after the fact. Remind them when their first payment's going to be due. Remind them that we have free auto pay, and it's a good idea that, you know, there's biweekly and just all those different options and different things that they could do. And that they could sign up online and watch the payments coming out. Make sure that they see the payments getting applied correctly. They can, if they sign up for our online service, which is all free, they can also get their tax interest statement at the end of the year. They don't have to wait for it to come in the mail.
Right.
You don't have to get a paper statement in the mail. I mean, there's so many options even after closing. So just as a good customer service tool, I like to, you know, just follow up with them, let them know, and typically there's questions because people are so overwhelmed during the process.
Well, there is. We try to always provide on our end the same type of things to make the process easier. We always send out a change of address checklist because you probably thought of the easy ones, but you might have forgotten about your eBay account, your PayPal account, you know, all the things that you might not have otherwise thought about to get the address changed on. So we always send out just a little mental reminder. And then a lot of times a new house brings with it a lot of service providers, you know, who does the HVAC, who does the lawn, who does the landscaping. So we always try to provide early in the process that list for our clients also, so that they have a few trusted service providers that they can use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fruit trees. Who sprays the fruit trees?
Who sprays the fruit trees? Exactly. So there is a long list of folks that we have used over the years that can help our clients. And so that, in a nutshell, Mike, represents a very successful transaction.
Wow.
And we've had a lot of those recently. I mean, this is, like we say for the show, the great part about this show is we're not really having to make anything up. We're always bringing our real-life stories to the show and what's really happening. We try to add some insight and reflection of what is a true reflection of what happens in our Tri-Cities real estate market.
And something to add, ladies and gentlemen, they did all that. Everything you just heard was done by memory. No notes. They started with notes, but then they weren't looking at them.
Yeah, it goes away quickly as you get into it.
Well, if you start to think about it, and this is for everyone out there listening, I closed over a couple hundred loans last year, and I know Lance and his team closed over 100 real estate transactions last year. And then you multiply that by a lot of years in this business. So between you and I, there are over a thousand transactions have happened. There is a certain level of experience and comfort and understanding of the real estate and financial markets. And so this is why we do what we do. We enjoy it. We like taking care of clients, and we like seeing them go from the beginning to the end and meeting their financial goals.
Well, what's so exciting about it is every day practically, you know, I don't know if I can remember it all, but every day I'm learning something new. And so, you know, you start to develop kind of that sense of things where you're like, where who knows what it might be, but you get a contract and there's something in the contract, you know, and it just sends up a red flag. You don't know why, but it might be two or three things. You're like, oh, well, this guy, you know, this guy works in this industry and he does this. And you know, like, oh, well, you're going to have a hard time getting a verification of employment for your overtime that I see you've only had 2 years. And they look at you shocked like, well, how do you know that? Well, because 2 years ago, this guy worked at the same place and they wouldn't credit him as overtime. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's little things like that that just add up over time. And every time we learn a new trick like that, we're so excited because mm-hmm. we're going to be better prepared for it next time. So that's the greatest part is, yeah, is we're continually seeing new things and refining our systems to make those better prepared to deal with those issues.
Absolutely. And Wells Fargo, as I've said before, is really centered around the customers understanding their options, being taken care of from start to finish. And it's a great company to work for. I sure appreciate it. And I'll do my sign-off segment here. It's Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. It is a division of Wells Fargo Bank N.A., Equal Housing Lender. You contact me is 736-2621, cell phone 531-9507, and I just I really enjoy what I do and our partnership, Lance, and committed to the Tri-Cities, and isn't it time we go back to work?
Well, it's almost time we go back to work, but I want to wrap up with, in honor of the move-up scenario we gave, I have two houses in that 250-260 range that mm-hmm. some people out there might want to move up to.
There you go.
That are available right now. So the first one, let's go to Pasco. 5024 West Livingston. Okay, this is a property out right off of, you can either go Road 52 to Livingston. So it's out there in Pasco. Phenomenal little area. It sits on almost an acre. Okay, it's a 3,500 square foot house. With a pool, and then here's the kicker, with a shop. So it's got an amazing shop. It's got a gunite pool, 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath house, over 3,500 square feet, and it's priced at $265,000.
Wow.
I mean, you're just not going to get an amazing custom-built, you know, in its day home like this for that price.
With a pool.
With a pool on almost an acre. So phenomenal, phenomenal. 5024 West Livingston. If you'd like to check that out, please let us know. Going to Richland, right in the South Richland corridor, right by Badger Mountain Elementary, is another phenomenal property, 1648 Alamosa. This house was built in 94, 2,200 square feet. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath home, so it's got that extra full bath on the main level, 3-car garage in a cul-de-sac for $255,000. And so this puts you right in that South Richland corridor, well-maintained home, and a gorgeous, gorgeous yard. Not quite the acre of the previous home, but this is a third of an acre in that development, in that neighborhood. It's one of the best yards you're going to find out there. So if that scenario that we went through today you think might work for you and some of these homes are an option, give us a call, 727-8977. And like you said, Mike, it's time to go back to work.
I agree.
And we'll see you next week right here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.